getting up in the morning. 1.23 billion users log into Facebook for an average of 17 minutes each day. And that makes 39,757 years collectively spent on Facebook in any single day by all of its active users. So you take all of Facebook's active users, add up their time for a single day, and all those users combined have near 40,000 years worth of time for that single day on social media. So you can see it's a growing epidemic. There are goods and bads of it. Majority of Americans now use Facebook, but we'll, if we go to the chart on the right, you'll see that the age ranges are different. So we have 68% in 2018 of Americans using Facebook. 73% use YouTube. 35% Instagram. Pinterest, 29, 27 for Snapchat. And you can see the trends are going up and up and up. And then we have few platforms that were just not tracked before 2017 and now readily tracked. So we have YouTube now being tracked, Snapchat being tracked, WhatsApp and Twitter, I believe. So we see those being tracked now. And then on the right, what the percentage of U.S. adults in age groups. So YouTube, 50 plus age range, 56% use it. Going all the way over to 94% of the 18 to 24 year olds. Facebook, 55% of the 50 plus, and all the other age groups are right around the 80% mark. Snapchat, you see it ranges, the older generations are down to 7% using it, all the way up to 78% of the younger generations. Instagram's going from 16 of the older to 71 in the youngers. And Twitter, 14 to 45. So it's still just mildly used. But we see all these other things being used more and more in the younger generations. And as we looked at the addiction stats, it's mind-boggling. And the last page of stats that I wanted to talk about, it says, a majority of Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram users visit these platforms on a daily basis. If anybody is on Facebook, typically they use it, 51% of them visit Facebook several times a day. 23 say they do it about once a day. And 26% use it less often, whether that be once a week, once a month, once a year. Snapchat, 49% several times a day. Instagram, 38% several times a day. Twitter, 26%. YouTube, 29%. Majority of users say it would not be hard to give up social media. Hard or not hard is what all social media users, about 59% says it would not be hard to give up. So 40% of social media users say it would be hard to give up. 51% of the 18 to 24 generation say it would be hard to give up. 40%. 25 to 29, 30 to 49 age group is 43%, and 50 plus age group said 33% said it would be hard to give up. What's another word for hard to give up? Addicted. And we see that growing and growing because, like it said, majority of people get their news and stuff from Facebook because they don't want to watch. They don't want to sit down and watch 30 minutes, an hour of one, all the negative stories going around on around them. But two, if they can skim an article in 30 seconds rather than sitting down and watching a news article about it for 5 minutes, which one are they going to do? So that's a lot of the stats that I want to get to before going into what the Bible says about it. Any comments, questions about that before we get on into it? Okay. So first we're going to start off with some temptations in social media. And question number one, I asked, what do these passages say about our words? What do Proverbs 17:28 say about our words? Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. There's a quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but also if you look and research the quote, it goes a little bit further earlier than Abraham Lincoln. Does anybody know the quote? Eddie, do you know the quote I'm talking about? Even a fool is considered wise. No, it's better to be thought a fool, and then better be thought a fool, and other than rather than opening your mouth and proving. So we see, but we see that same thought is all through the Proverbs. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. So that fool who's considered wise and perceptive when he holds his tongue, when he opens his mouth, he lays open his folly. And I'm talking to the temptation of social media with those two verses. I want to talk about overposting and foolish talking. There are people who post everything. I mean, they'll post 2-3 times an hour, maybe. They almost treat it like it's their daily blog or their meal journal, but they do everything on it. Yes, there are some people who use it to keep accountable for diet and for healthy running and things like that. They'll use that as an accountability, and other people hold them accountable for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just people who just post to post and they lay open their folly. Then there's also senseless debating. I'm going to get to an article about this in just a minute after we talk about all the temptations. But Proverbs 12:16, if you turn back a page, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Or in the ESV, it says the prudent man ignores an insult. There's some arguments that we don't want to get into, and that's what in the New Testament Paul advises people: don't get involved in senseless debating and foolish debates. Proverbs 18:2. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. The fool loves expressing his opinion, as some versions translate that verse. A fool loves expressing his own opinion. And what better way to give them the way to express their opinion than give them a phone and they have access to a dozen different platforms and social media, and they have apps where they can only post to one app and they'll post to all 12 of those platforms at the same time and lay open their folly expressing their opinions. Any comment on overposting, foolish talking, and senseless debating?
I was thinking about, we read verse 28 in chapter 17, but verse 27 says, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So maybe kind of both of those ideas combined, you know, it's good to listen more and to talk less, but when we do talk, we need to make sure that we're in control of what we're saying, what we're typing, what we're posting, whatever it is.
Anybody else? Now, next question, I said in our past lesson, lesson 3, question 6, we addressed self-serving, seeking approval, affirmation from others. How does that relate to Facebook and social media? Anybody have any comment about that? Leanne. Seeing how many likes or comments you can get. And usually they do the likes and stuff. And we talked about this with the use of cell phones and things. But by selfies. Or they do what's called vague booking. There are people who thrive on attention. They want attention every time, every day. And they'll just post one vague remark, and you'll be like, what in the world do they mean? And they want you to ask, what does that mean? Or is everything okay? They want you to ask all these things, and that's called vague booking because they're thriving that attention. Romans 2, verse 8. Let's turn over and read that. Romans 2, verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of the man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to Greek, for there's no partiality with God. So we see in these verses, indignation and wrath to those who are what? Self-seeking, yes. Self-seeking. And many times these people are self-seeking and trying to seek attention for themselves. And I know sometimes we are guilty of this, but I wanted to throw this out there too, because I guess it's what, 3 or 4 months ago now, on a Wednesday night, Adam Clark gave an invitation lesson. And his whole invitation lesson was entitled, Pray for Me. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but that stuck out to me because we see so many times people asking, pray for me. And Adam Clark's invitation about that on that Wednesday night was, I'll pray for you, but I could pray even better if I knew what the problem that you're dealing with was. Now, sometimes people will post on social media, pray for me, and they'll say that they can't go into the details right now because, well, there's other people involved that are on social media, or they need to get in touch with those people first. So, for instance, if there is a death in the family or a horrific accident and they're trying to get a hold of all the family members, they might just say, pray for my family. We're going through a difficult time right now. And they'll leave it at that until everybody can be notified. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, one, about this vagueness of pray for me, seeking attention, but we want to be able to pray in detail for people and know what's going on with people to help. I've found this quote in my research as well, and I'll find another one later on, but you are not your login ID. You're not your Facebook account or Twitter account or Instagram handle. You are not your technology. You are you. You will never get enough if you're seeking affirmations. It's vanity. It goes along quite well with what we're starting in Ecclesiastes. Everything's vanity if you're going through this world's approach and looking at all the world. And when the world to view you, comparing yourself to other people of the world, it's all going to turn out vanity. You are you. And I'll get to another quote about that, like I said, in just a minute. But just think about that. You are you. You're not, it's not how many people like can put give you a like on social media or anything like that. You are you. Then there's posting without thought to the consequences. Once you post something, it's out there indefinitely. So think before you type. Yes, you can go back out there and delete your post. But one, you don't know who saw it when it was out there. And two, if you delete it, guess what? It's never gone. It's truly still out there in the world. It's still out there on servers around the world. It was just archived to where it can't be seen by other people. Question number three, I asked, what lessons can we learn from James 1, 19 and 20 and verse 26 in our use of social media? Let's turn and read that. James 1, says, so then, my beloved brethren, be every man swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. How can this relate to social media and our use of social media?
quick to hear, slow to speak, yes. Slow to anger. Yeah, you got to pay attention to yourself.
Trust me. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when Andrew slipped on the bridge at Mile High Falls of Kentucky Kingdom, and I was sitting there waiting for the EMT person to come over at the end of the ride and help him out, I was mad. I wanted to post a flaming, mad social media post public tagging Kentucky Kingdom and everything for not having the non-slip thing at the end on the bridge where he slipped and fell. And it was hard not to post that, but what I did instead was, after the EMT came, I was like, you know what? I'm grateful that they were able to come and help him out. I looked at the grateful side of things and posted the grateful side of things rather than posting the mad, mean, hurtful thing. So we need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and we need to bridle our hands. The hands and thumbs, the thumbs today are the tongue of a person. They post on social media using their, using thumbs, but we need to be bridling ourselves and not deceiving our own heart that our religion is not vain. Let's go back over the Proverbs. I should have told you to put a marker there because we're going to spend, when we're talking about social media and all the tips about social media and how to conduct ourselves in the world, there are great tips and tools in Proverbs. We say there's nothing new under the sun because if you think about it, Solomon, whenever he traveled, he didn't have to have an iPod or MP3 player. He had minstrels going along with him. He didn't have to have YouTube. He had actors going along with him as he traveled. If you look at all the things he had in his house and as he traveled, he had everything that we have today. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Another version says that rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So we see both sides of the thing. We see the rash side, and it's just hurtful and like sword thrusts. And then we see the wisdom side that is promoting health and wellness, not just physically, but relationship-wise as well. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. We talked about being slow to speak, slow to anger. Meditating and studying and thinking how to reply and how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things, pours forth evil. Turn one or two pages over to chapter 17, verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. That's why I didn't touch that on that verse whenever we're back in verse 28. I wanted to touch it here as well. Whoever restrains his words or spares his words has knowledge. And then in Proverbs 29, in verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Let that sink in. There's more hope for a fool than one that has hasty words. Any comments, Jacob?
I was thinking about question two, and I was thinking, looking at this last week, which I think we talked about, you know, our aim in life and everything we do, social media or otherwise, should be to please God, not to please ourselves, not to please other people. So if we have to filter our words, you know, our actions, attitudes, everything through that. And to ask the question, which that takes time, instead of just reading something and rapidly reacting, which is the way our world is today, to think, is what I'm about to say, whether it's to somebody's face or whether it's, you know, talking to someone on the phone or sending a text or posting something, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to please God? Or is this just, I mean, it may be good things that we're saying, but is this, am I really posting this just to get attention, like you mentioned a few minutes ago? It may not be that we're posting things that are angry or we're trying to stir up strife or something like that. It may be good things that's going on in our life, but I mean, that I've thought about that more here in the last year or two. You know, something maybe I wanted to share with other people, but I thought, would this come across as just self-seeking? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, maybe it wouldn't have, but we really have to guard our hearts.
One of the things you pointed out is fool. And I think in my Bible, they have a topical index, and they kind of list where fool is used and what is being done. And if you kind of go through the list, fool is used to be worldly, wasteful, slandering, self-sufficient, self-confident, raging, mocking, mischievous, meddling, and it goes on. But if you study that, and then you look at what we're talking about this morning, and then start examining yourself, do I have any of these characteristics? And we don't use the word fool that often in our own language today. I haven't been called a fool in a very long time. Now, I don't know if that's attributed to my actions or if people get called fool, but I'm just saying, I think it's helpful to understand what a fool is in that study.
And then also going along with that, one of the
meddling, and I think I go take that as well and be thinking about the busybody side of that. How many people get lost on Facebook just to be busybodies? And how many hours are spent on Facebook with people trying just to be busybodies? And to go back to what Jacob said, that's one reason I ordered these lessons the way I did. First, we started out talking about stewardship, and what our main goal would be to serve and please the master. Then we talked about modesty, and as was pointed out by Andy, Brother Andy, when he was in the audience, it shouldn't be about pleasing men or pleasing myself or how does this look to me. It's how it would glorify God and how we can use even our modesty to glorify God. Then we talked about the use of technology and cell phones to glorify God, and now we're going into social media and the dangers of it to help us better glorify God. And I wanted to read an article. The August 2017 issue of Pressing On magazine was all about digital dangers. And I sent a screenshot of I took a picture of one of the pages and sent it to Jacob because he mentioned something in class one or two weeks ago, I can't remember now, but about what it would be like if Paul had a Twitter account. And that article was in that magazine. But I wanted to talk about 7 ways to deal with social media trolls. It's an article printed by Wilson Adams. No matter what you post, there will always be someone with a bone to pick. Sadly, it goes with the territory of writing. Like the fictitious characters they represent, social media trolls lurk for their shining moment to post a grandstand comment on something expressed. No matter how kind and charitable your response, the troll will always find a loophole in a vain attempt to stir the pot, derail your post, or promote their hobby soapbox. So what can you do? And he gives 7 ways to deal with it. First one, ignore their comments. Sometimes the best response is no response at all. Number 2, engage in a reasonable discussion. Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. So we can use that and try to give a gentle answer and help engage them in a reasonable discussion. The next thing he says, go 3 rounds and leave the ring. After responding in a clear and kind way, If they persist in snarky, agenda-driven comments, stop responding. It's hard to argue with yourself, although some apparently have this gift. Number four, delete their comments. Just because someone makes a post, it doesn't mean it deserves to remain. You have a cool device on your keyboard called a delete button. Use it. Gone. Out of sight, out of mind. Or if someone is posting that on their own page and you don't like it, you can hide them. Or you can unfriend them. It's out of sight, out of mind. Well, that goes right next to number five. Unfriend them. If the troll continues to be annoying and persists in using you as a virtual punching bag, or does the same to friends who seek to be reasonable, you can take care of the situation. It's painless, simply by drop down and unfriending them. Or you can block them, ease their pain and yours by blocking them. Number seven, enjoy a cup of coffee, the company of a friend, the warmth of a good book, the wisdom of the good book, a moment of quiet prayer, and then set your mind on more important things. Online bullying takes many forms. Beware of the trolls. And like I said, there's many other articles in that magazine on digital dangers. It's very good. But I wanted to just read that one today because many times we have the fools expressing their folly, and I've seen it and heard it said many times before I read this article about to go three rounds and leave the ring. You can go back and forth three times, but after three times, they're probably not going to come around to your point of view. It's just arguing to argue at that point. So just let the argument lie. Shake the dust off yourself and move on. Any comments on that?
The vain arguments that the Bible speaks of that we shouldn't be involved in. And then you think about in Galatians, the works of the flesh. So it's to be no surprise that when we go out into our workplace or if we're on social media, that we're going to find those things. So, but we have to guard ourselves to not be a participant. So, but yeah, it should be no surprise.
Excellent segue into the question
number four. Why must we guard our likes, retweets, etc. on social media according to the following verses? What does Romans 1, 28 and 32 say? Did anybody get that? We're going to read it anyway. Romans 1, beginning of verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What must we be on guard for in social media according to that verse? Okay. Anybody here accused of murder? No? Okay. Anybody here actively accused of being disobedient to the parents? No? Do you have any friends that might be in that fall into that classification? Could they post something about that on or something along the lines of any of these other areas of unrighteousness? And what is right under the post on, for those who have social media, what is right after they type the post and it's printed and you see the print, what's the next things under that post? Likes. Like, reaction comments. We have to be careful of what we are giving approval of with our reactions. Anna?
It's not just posts by friends. It's also other, you like a company, or and Facebook will pop it up, so-and-so likes this, and they want you to like it too. Well, what is Facebook telling other people that I have liked? And it better not be something that's not good.
Good point. And many times, yeah, you see that if it's a
if it's a store or if it's a certain news organization. You might like an article that was legit and genuine from that news article, news organization, but then they print something else and they have a link to another story that you really wouldn't agree with, but it says, so-and-so likes this company, and right under it is an article from that company trying to get you to click on that article that would be not something you'd want them to actively agree on. Good point.
That happens with recipes, too. Because my daughter-in-law liked a recipe she saw, and then later on, her mom and her both liked a Smirnoff 4th of July treat. Well, that's a liquor.
Yeah.
And so, thankfully, I saw it. I don't know how many people saw it, but she was able to go in and dislike it. But that's another point. How often, just when we like a recipe, how often, or you know, does that happen? So we have to be careful with everything.
Then what they'll do is they'll
post something. They'll post a new article or a new recipe, and it like you said, they'll try to get traffic to their website, so they say, they send out a broadcast list of, here's our new latest article, and here are all your friends who like our page, so they want you to see this article. Anna?
Well, they'll have something that's fine and good or whatever, and you like it, but if you don't pay attention to what the name of who actually posted it that's full of foul language or whatever, it's you've said you liked something that has bad language on it. Very easily.
Very. And then Ephesians 5, 11
and 12. Ephesians 5, verses 11 and 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Take no part, but rather expose. And we've already said about this in Romans 1, not giving approval. So now we are saying, don't take part of the sin, but rather expose it. You can actually use social media to help expose an issue and help expose a problem. If someone's being a hypocrite, and you can send them a private message and try to deal with it privately, and if they do, they can take care of it. Great. Sometimes you have to take action on that public post that you see them being the hypocrite of, and call them out on it. And that's all I'm going to say on that at this time. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have many worldly people on Facebook. You just look at the stats that we gave about in a single day, what if you added up all the time people were on Facebook, and you had 40,000 years, and I don't remember if I kept that chart in here or not. I don't think I did. The number of active users is up in millions. There are hundreds of millions of active users on Facebook in a given day, week, month. How many of those are Christians? Very few. Very few. So we need to make sure we're not loving the world or things in the world, and if we're using social media, we're using it as a platform to promote God, and as Jacob said, making sure everything we do glorifies God. And there's only one other point I wanted to have, but any comments on this one about giving approval with our reactions to posts from others on Facebook? James, and then.
Going back to that Romans and going up into the verses that leading up to the ones that you use, and it says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And I think it's interesting to look at the names that we use for social media. YouTube. You know, what's emphasized? Facebook. The emphasis is on the creature, not the creator. And if you can use it, for, I'm not going to do all the rest of them, but you get the point.
Yes. Jacob?
Yeah, as several people mentioned, I mean, you know, we can, certainly we can knowingly like or share or show our support for things that are wrong, but we can unknowingly do that as well. As has been mentioned, for me, there's been several times maybe I've liked somebody's pictures of a trip or something, and then they add pictures to that gallery, to that album, that, you know, they're not modestly dressed or something like that. And so again, it shows up that you like that, and people think, well, he or she approves of that, you know. And then so that may cause a problem between us and them. We have to talk about that. But just in all of this, I mean, it's kind of like, I think in a lesson we'll get to in a few weeks on pornography or sexual images. I mean, it used to be the case, if you wanted to engage in that kind of thing or look at that kind of thing, you had to go looking for it. But nowadays it comes looking for us. I mean, it's right there in front of our face. And it's much the same with social media. If we're going to use it, we don't really have to go looking for all of these bad uses. They're going to come looking for us. So again, we have to be true Christians. We have to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. To me, that's the only way I know how to overcome this.
Alex.
This is about me. I shared a couple of sites, or not sites, but I shared a couple of jokes that were posted by a site without looking at the name of the site. And because I read the joke, but I didn't read the site name. And the site name had, was very vulgar. And so someone told me about it, and I was like, ah, delete it, get it out of there, because I didn't want that posted with my name on it. But like you said, it's still out there.
Yes, you can take action with posting something. What I would do in that case, if I've done it, and I've
seen many people done it, and say they'll post it immediately after they delete it. They'll post a follow-up article post saying, "Thanks for bringing some. Thanks for all my friends who brought this to my attention. I didn't realize the." Jokes I posted were clean jokes, but from a vulgar site. And yeah, okay.
Whether it is something that we actively post or something that's simply like or retweet, should we not always keep
4A in mind whenever we're making those comments?
Yes. And going along, I'm going to use that as a topic.
Go ahead,
No, I'm just going to move on, but go ahead.
Okay. My mind's just awash with all this. I'm not on social media. I mean, the only thing I use Facebook for is to, I got a messenger on my phone, and I talk with Bob Buchanan and Jorge Gonzalez and Conrado and people in other parts of the country, Nestor, and all this is, you know, the one thing that's just going through my mind, and you started off with it, and that's the amount of time that people spend on this. And I've just been sitting here thinking, you know, you add up the hours in a week, sleeping and working. Then you add in there the time that you spend doing the things that we have to do, cleaning the house, cooking, you know, and you just add up all your time, and then you get this report. I get it now on my phone. So how much time a day I'm on my phone. And I've taken note to that since. And then you just start thinking about, well, how much time do I sit there and watch the TV? And then how much time are Christians spending on social media? You know, all this time spent isolates you from your family, from your kids, from other Christians. And so I just wonder if this is not another scheme of the devil. All these things, and we can go and we can say, hey, you know, there's some really good things. Just like I said with Facebook Messenger, or talking to all these people all over the world about spiritual things. Lot could have said the same thing. Hey, look, I'm going to be able to extend my business's holdings by living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I can use that money then to further God's work. But look what it cost him. You can justify whatever you want for the good that comes from it. But maybe as Christians, we need to sit down. And just from the standpoint of the time, let alone everything else we've been talking about, how much time do we have left over for God? How much time do we have left over for our spouses, for our children, for our grandchildren? You know, how much time do we have left over for our fellow Christians out of the week, as opposed to how much time we're using on items that maybe are not necessarily things that we need to be associated with, since there are so many dangers, and that they're also taking time away from all these things that are important. And so while I can make a lot of other comments about all of this, to me, the amount of time is mind-boggling as I'm sitting here thinking about how much time people, Christians, spend without even realizing it. It's like sometimes we sit in front of the television and we're vegetating. We don't realize how much time we're watching television. Add in all this other stuff, and you're reducing the amount of time that you could be spending with that which is important.
Very good point.
Another slide I had, but we're going to touch that on in a future lesson, but I'll skip it for now. But what I wanted to use that for is even Lot himself is considered righteous in the New Testament. But it said he vexed his soul daily. How many of us are righteous in using social media and seeing all this unrighteousness are vexing our soul daily and using that as well? And I won't get into this one now. Oops, let's see here. But I did want to get to this last page here because I said there was another quote. It says, "You are not your digital you. The real you will stand before a real God on how we spend our money, spend our time, and use our bodies. Is it for him or for us?" And then on the left it says, "There's a person who had 1,250 Facebook friends, 588 Twitter followers, 743 WhatsApp friends. Still outside the ICU, he had only his wife, children, and his parents, from whom he had never had time to spend. So dear friends, move out of the imaginary world and spend some time with your family." We'll press on and go into the realm of entertainment with our music, TV, and movies, Lord willing, next week.